All right, go back to 2 Kings 5 that Brother Sammy read to us. 2 Kings 5, a familiar story to probably everyone in this room. Story of Naaman. The story of Naaman is the story of every man, every woman that the Lord saves. There are no exceptions. Every single person that the Lord saves, He does this same work to them and continues to do this work. Keeps causing us to come down and dip, bow the head. It says in verse 1, he was a captain of a host, king of Assyria, a great man with his master, before his master, before men. He was honorable before others, moral, upright. And by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor. So old Naaman was a great man before men. He was an honorable man, a moral man, an upright man, highly esteemed among men. But he was a leper. My pastor one time said, there are many lepers. Some of them just happen to be great men. But all are lepers. Sin is leprosy. Sin is leprosy. It's a corruption of flesh. That's what leprosy did. It turned good flesh into rottenness and corruption to where it was a stench. It was filthy. Down to the depth of your person. And Scriptures, and we preach this because this is where you begin with sin. We're all born in sin. We're conceived. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Got it from our father Adam. And we come forth from the womb speaking lies. We begin to manifest that corruption of the flesh at an early age. We look at these little babies that are born and they look innocent. No, they're not. Just given time, they will begin to show that evil that's in there called sin, that corruption that in the flesh is no good thing until in given time the whole flesh, and this is the way leprosy was, it is at first and it was on the inside and then it began to manifest itself in little patches of corrupt flesh, a little tantrum here, a little envy there, a little anger there, until finally, it breaks out in the whole person, full of wrath and malice and envy and anger and lust and evil and all of these things and hatred of God and authority and self-righteousness. It's all sin. And sin, like leprosy, sin begins within and it begins to show outward signs until the whole man is corrupt. And the fact of the matter is we're all lepers. Some of us, some happen to be great men. Now, I had an uncle, my father's brother, that I greatly looked up to. It reminds me of Naaman. He was tall, dark, and handsome, 6'1". He was a career army soldier in the army, career man. He went to Naval Academy first and graduated from that. Offered a West Point, both of those premier military institutes. Became a full bird colonel by the time he was 46 years old. Colonel in the Army, became a battalion commander in Germany over many, many men. Served in three wars, Second World War, Korea, and Vietnam. Highly decorated. He's a leper. And he died a leper, didn't he? He didn't know what he'd come to visit. And he didn't know that the servant of God In fact, one time they asked him, somebody asked him if he knew the Lord, and he said, I leave that to my brother. And I looked up to that man. Died a leper. All men are lepers, no matter how great and mighty they may appear to be before men, they're lepers before God. Naaman, as you know, was a soldier, so he had it all covered up, didn't he? He had his armor on, his helmet, his ribbons and medals and all of this that covered his leprosy. Nobody could see it. It was there. God saw it. Well, verses 2 through 4, Syrians had come and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She was a servant. A little maid. Servant to Naaman's wife. The Lord put this maid in Naaman's house. All the people. He put her there, one who knew God and knew the servant of God. She said to her mistress, she saw her master's leprosy. She said to her mistress, she said, would God my Lord, that is Naaman, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him his leprosy. Who hath despised a day of small things? Do you see your calling, brethren? God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Things that are naught to bring, nothing to bring to naught, things that are. God chooses little maids, little nobodies from nowhere. Not mighty men. A few, but not many. Mighty men. Listen to the divine irony in all this. Would you listen? There's once a great man, a general in the army, George Patton. You remember him? George S. Patton. Modern generation probably didn't know him, but we knew him, didn't we? Great man, wasn't he? George Patton, liberator, deliverer, wasn't he? He liberated, you know who he liberated? Egypt. Isn't that ironic? Egypt! North Africa. Great man, highly esteemed among men, a deliverer. He died a leper. The Lord brought him down. He died in a car wreck. I mean, he had a car wreck, broke his neck, and was paralyzed from the waist down and died a quadriplegic. That's how the Lord will bring down the mighty. How are the mighty fallen? They that exalt himself, the Lord is able to abase. So that's why the Lord says, humble yourself. Dip yourself. Dip down now. Or he'll bring you down. He will. Mighty man. Think of the irony with it. George S. Patton. We have in our midst a maid named Patton. Who serves our wives and our children. No doubt this maid means an unmarried female. It serves her master's wife. Served her well and served their children. And what does she do? Witness. Would to God. There's a preacher. If he'll go there, he'll be cured of his leprosy. Would God that the Lord would bring lepers, more lepers to Christ. Why was this woman put into captivity and put in this house? Why was she put there? For this reason. To bear witness. Why are we? Wherever we are, whoever we work for, whatever place we've been put in, you know why we're put there? To bear witness. To our bosses and our fellow workers and to serve our fellow man. How? Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Who's the last person you've talked to? When have you brought someone to hear the gospel? Would that God would bring more lepers to Christ. Verses 5 and 6. The king of Syria his boss said, "Go and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought a letter to the king of Israel saying, "I've sent my servant Naaman that you may recover him of his leprosy." He sent a letter, and I thought how ironic this is too. And he sent this man to the king of Israel hoping he could help him out. All right? You know what? You know when people that go from so-called church to church, they do that. They get tired of one place and they go to another. They're looking for something and they don't know. We're looking for a church. I hear that all the time. We're looking for a church. Well, you can find one anywhere. They're on every corner. What are you looking for? We're looking for something for our kids. Well, there's one down here. You'll find it. No problem. We're looking for a singles ministry. Well, they had that where there's lots of singles. I went through the bank drive-thru one time and was talking to the lady there, and she said, "What do you all have for your singles?" I said, "Same thing for the doubles. The gospel. That's all we have. If you need the gospel, come down with us. We'll do you good." But anyway, they go here and there. And you know what they do when they'll join this church. They'll join that church. They get tired of it. They'll quit there and they'll go join another. And you know what they do when they leave one church and go to another? You know what they have to legally do to move their membership?
Send a letter.
Honestly, that's send a letter. Woman, I got a letter one time from this place, the Methodist guy here on whatever the name of it is. Got a letter from them saying so and so, and this was someone who used to come here and left the gospel. They never did know the gospel, but they left. And they got a letter from them saying so and so wants to move their letter to our church. I couldn't help it. But I wrote them back an official letter with a letterhead, Central Baptist. I said, "Be it known unto all to whom it may concern that so and so," and I put their name down there, "is not a member of the church and is free to join whatever heresy or idolatrous place she pleases." Signed, the servant of God. Would you move our letter? Here's a letter. Can you help him out? No, I can't. No, I can't. But I know who can. And I know who must. This king is like God, all of God's prophets and apostles and people. We're kings and priests. We're all kings and priests unto God, aren't we? Huh? Reign with Him and priests to minister about the sanctuary, about the things of God, and minister to others. We're all kings and priests. Female. Witness unto others. And they come to us, and what we say is,
"We can't help you out. We're not God. We can't save you, but we know who can. We know a place. We know a place. And around here, there's only one where there's a servant of God, and He'll get rid of your leprosy." If you really are a leper now, if you're a leper through and through, and a dying man, we know a man of God, who will get rid of your leprosy. Now you go and you need to submit yourself to Him. Now I'm not talking about a man, about a preacher. Elisha in this story doesn't represent a mere preacher. He represents the Lord Jesus Christ. His servant represents me, a preacher, you. His servant is the one who was sent with a message out there just to repeat what his Lord and Master Elisha said. But Elisha is the one that got rid of the leprosy, and Jesus Christ is the healer of leprosy. And we say to every man, to a woman, whoever comes to us, whoever comes here, we can't get rid of your leprosy. There's only one who can. We're not God. Salvation is not by decisions, not by the will of man. It's not according to man. Salvation is of the Lord. And we preach Him who alone can and must heal lepers. Elisha was the man of God, verse 8. The man. It doesn't say a man, does it?
You know, at this time, he was about the only one. It's often that way. Often that way, you'd find throughout the land of Israel, there'd be just one. A man that stood alone. Elijah stood alone, didn't he? That's what he said. Then Elisha was, the mantle was passed to him. But Elisha here represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord. The man of God. The God-man. God's elect. Christ said, God said of him in Isaiah 42, "Behold my servant, mine elect, in whom I delight." He's the one. You come to him. Come unto him. So Elisha, the man of God, verse 8, he heard the king of Israel rend his clothes, and he hears our prayers, and we pray that the Lord will send sinners to hear the gospel, and he will, he does, in his time. But Elisha sent to the king, sent word to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he'll know there's a prophet in Israel." When this is all over, he'll know there's one true God and one true prophet. Let him come to me. Does that sound familiar? Christ, in the last day of that feast, people had gone here and gone there. All of them were lepers, trying to get some help. They found none. And Christ, in that last day of the great feast, stood up and he said, "Ho! If any man thirsts, let him come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest." And you'll know if you do that there's one that did it. That prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me. And all who know and feel and smell their sin, which is leprosy, and their uncleanness, like that leper who come to Christ and worship Him. People, when we really find out that we're real sinners, Paul said, "When I found out the exceeding sinfulness of my sin," that's what Naaman's going to find out. He doesn't know it yet. He thinks a few little minor things is going to cleanse him. He thinks it's just going to be a little, you know, ceremony. It's going to cleanse. You don't know the depth of your depravity, Naaman. And one thing it's going to take to cleanse you fully. But when we get to know and feel and smell ourselves, our sin, our uncleanness, we come to Christ like that leper that came down from the mountain in Matthew 8. Remember, the first thing he did was he worshipped him. Before he got a thing from our Lord, he worshipped him. And he thought, if he doesn't do a thing for me from here on out, I don't deserve it. But when he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, if you will, you can." What? What is it you need, man? "I want to be clean. I got one thing I need. I want to be clean." And when we really find out what we are, we'll want to be cleansed not just from the guilt of sin, but from the filth of it. Not like Cain who got caught. Not like Esau who lost everything. But like David who said, "Wash me. Purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Create in me a clean heart." Thought you had a good heart, David. I did too. "Renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now that man is clean. He's clean. Naaman didn't know the truth about the depths of his disease. He brought money. Look at verse 5. It says he brought silver and gold and changes of raiment. You know what that represents, don't you? Many still do that. Many who don't know the depth of their depravity and sin, who don't really smell themselves yet, who think they can buy their life back. And they've got a few faults. They've got a few things wrong with them that you just need cleaning up a little bit. And they try to redeem themselves, try to pay for their past crimes. try to bargain with God. You know, they get in a little trouble and they join the church and they come and they think everybody's just going to be happy to see them, and the false church is. They're all just, and the preacher runs to greet them. You know, oh, we couldn't be church without you. And then they bring their silver and gold, but the Scripture says, brethren, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. And he went on to say, by our vain conversation, received by tradition from the elders. In other words, morality. Somebody told him, well, if you just clean up your life, change your raiment. Just change your raiment. Just change your ways. Turn over a new leaf, isn't it? And any leaf we wear is a fig leaf, you know. And one side's as bad as the other. But if you just change your way, change your raiment, that'll do it. His flesh, it wasn't on the outside, it was on the inside. That's where the extortion, corruption, adulteries, and fornication, all that came from, the heart. Heart. And there's only one way a leper is cleansed. We sang it. Are you washed? In the blood of the Lamb. Now here he comes. Here he comes on Naaman. Comes riding up, verse 9. And unlike that woman with the issue, she crawled in. Naaman came riding up with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Here he is, full of pride. Great man, a mighty man. Highly esteemed among men. He's got it all covered up, doesn't he? Wearing all his medals and all his adornments. And he looks good to everybody else, but he's a leper. He's dead. He's dead while he lives. He's a whited sepulcher. That's all he is. Full of pride, full of the world, and I tell you what, if the Lord hadn't really done something to him, he'd have got cleaned up and gone right back to his old life and thought, glad that's over, now I can go back to doing what I love. Nope. He's going to be washed, not just his body, but his mind and his heart. So he came, he stood at the door of the house of Elijah, Elisha, came and stood. You know, every sinner that's going to be cleaned will be brought to the house of God. That's right. They'll be brought to Christ the door. Now, he's standing right now. He should have been knocking. He's standing up in his chariot. He's thinking that Elisha surely will be honored that he's there. A leper? Elisha will acknowledge him that he's there. A leper? See, he doesn't know himself, does he? He doesn't know himself. Every sinner that's cleansed will be brought to the house of God, to Christ the door, to hear from the servant of God who will preach. Get down. Now, here's this old proud leper standing before the door, and Elisha saw him coming. He knew he was coming. He saw him standing out there. He looked. He saw him. Maybe through the window or whatever. But you know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He sees. He beholds. He knows. And the foundation of God standeth sure. It has this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. And all that the Father giveth to Christ, they're going to come. And most of them come the wrong way. Naaman came to the wrong person first. He came the wrong way, with the wrong attitude. Everything about him was wrong, wasn't it? He's going to know. He's going to know. Like all of God's people did. You say one way. One place. One person. And Elisha saw him coming in verse 10. Says, Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha didn't go out in person. He's busy. Why should he? This man's a leper. He doesn't need him. And that man doesn't really know it, but he needs Elisha desperately. What Elisha has is life or death. He didn't know it yet. He sent this messenger. Elisha sent this messenger out there. What's his name? Anybody know his name? That's not important, is it? He's just a voice, isn't it? He's just a voice. Like John said, I'm just a voice that cries in the wilderness. And he preached a message to him. Shortest, one of the shortest messages ever preached. 20 words. 20 words. Only three of them had two syllables. 18 words had one syllable. How plain can you get? How simple can you get? How to the point can you get? Look at it. Verse 10. 20-word sermon. Elisha sent a messenger, and this man was to repeat, tell him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come unto thee again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And he went back inside and shut the door. Naaman standing up there like that on his high horse and his chariot. Can you see him? Like Maximus, like old Russell Crowe in that chariot. And look at me. And this fellow, this nobody, this servant, not the great prophet, this servant that they look down upon with scorn and scoffing. And who's this? I don't know his name. And he came up right in the face of that great man and said, here's what my master said. Go and wash in the river Jordan. And that 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee clean, and you'll be clean. Walk in the house. And this man huffed and he puffed, didn't it? Said he was wroth. He wasn't just angry, he was furious. Who does he think he is? Doesn't he know who I am? Yes, he does. A leper. You don't know who you are. You don't know who he is. You wouldn't approach him like that. I'm not talking about this little servant. Now, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And preachers, these false preachers, tell me and everyone, won't you let Jesus, won't you let, oh, he wants you so bad. If this had been the average preacher today, he'd run out to Naaman. Oh, Naaman, Mr. Naaman, we've heard of you so long. We're so glad you're here. And his money, he can really help us with all his money. Oh, Naaman, sit right here on the best seat. Sit right here. Everybody greet Mr. Naaman. That's what they were done, wasn't it? If the Queen of England came in here this morning, if Barack Obama, the President of the United States, came in here this morning, I would be remiss if, I mean, I would be wrong if I would acknowledge him more than you. If I would give him a chief seat, they need to sit like the rest of us lepers and hear of him who is worthy and give all honor and praise and glory to him. It's obvious both those persons don't know God in all their pomp and ceremony. It's obvious. And I would tell them exactly what that servant did. I would tell this to all men, high or low, rich or poor, male or female, Jew or Gentile. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You need to come down. God is holy. God is no respecter of persons. That before God, God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that didn't understand, any that seek after God. It says they're all become, what? Stinking. Filthy. In their flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, the whole earth had corrupted my way. That's what God said before he destroyed it by a flood. It smells in my nose, in my nostrils, and I'm going to wash it all away. But God, but Noah, and now Naaman. Not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are saved, but some are. But folks, the fact of the matter is, we all get puffed up with pride. We all get to this point. This message is for all of us, preacher and people alike, kings or paupers. We all get lifted up with pride. Quite often in the Scriptures, someone would get lifted up with pride. Was a man that worshipped God, and he got puffed up with a sense of his own importance. And said he went into the holy place to offer a sacrifice. And the priests, all 80 of them, said, "You can't do this. This pertaineth to one person. You can't do this." He said, "Who do you think you are? You know who I am?" And God made him a leper and cast him out. And he died that way. Oh, he found mercy at the Lord's hand, but he died a cast out. Miriam, a woman, stood against Moses, his older sister, and she thought, "I got something to say here. The Lord chose me too, Moses. Who do you think you are? Now you listen to me." And God said, "No, you listen to me." And you know what God did to her? Turned her into a leper. And he said, "Should she not be cast out 7 days until she finds out my man's the man, you're nothing." Oh boy. And we all get puffed up with pride, don't we? And you know what the Lord's going to do to all of us when we do that? He's able to abase. And He'll make us know something of our leprosy and bring us down to the point where we think we're cast out forever. And He ought to do it, shouldn't He? But God. He sent this messenger one message: wash. You need to be washed. You know, the message to all sinners, high or low, is this: it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The only thing that can cleanse a vile sinner like us only thing that can change a filthy sinner like us is a plunge in the blood of the Lamb. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. We need to see that God made His holy, sinless Son to be sin for us. Us Barabbases. That His soul was made sin. That the sins we commit, the sins we committed, the sins we commit, and the sins we shall commit, Christ had to pay for those. Blood. See, Naaman's going to go down under that muddy water. Why does muddy water sound like bloody? That's by design. The Jordan was known for being muddy water all the time, always overflowing, flooding. That's the picture in it. Filled, muddy water. And he's going to go down under that water so much that he's filled with that mud. Got in his ears and his eyes and his mouth and his nose until he finally finds out, "This is me. I'm a leper through and through," until he's going over his head and "I'm drowning in muddy water." And we're going to have to see somehow by the grace of God that it's the blood of God's Son and nothing else that it takes to cleanse us. Why would I do this anymore? We ought to drown instead. God drowned His Son in His own blood. Do we understand that? Now, all the sins we have committed and never will commit cost God's Son of His blood. It's not just doctrine. It's not just, you know, a good song to sing. Are you washed in the blood? But it took the very blood that we shed, that soldier that stuck his spear in his side and malice and wrath and stuck the spear and spit in his face. It took that to cleanse him. The blood that flowed that day brought forgiveness to the ones who shed it. Well, that'll cleanse you. Nothing else will. Go back again, leper, to that fountain. all the pain and suffering and punishment Christ endured because of you. And every proud sinner must and will be brought down. Every sinner saved will know something of their filth and bow and plunge in that bloody water, that fountain, will repent and be baptized. This is what he told him to do. And this is what our Lord said to do. You go preach the gospel of Christ and his blood shed for the remission of sin. You go preach the gospel and you tell them all, if they ask you, what shall we do? You tell them, repent. Come down and dip 7 times until you come clean. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Come down and dip. Come down and dip. That's the title, I guess, the text. Come down and dip. Strip and dip. That ought to be the title. Strip? Yeah, strip. Now, he went away, verse 11. He went away. He was angry. I thought. Isn't that man's problem? I thought. This is the way I thought. Well, you thought wrong. There is a way that man thinks is right. But it's all wrong. Even now, people, if it's anything we come up with, it's wrong. God's will. I thought he'll say to come out to me and stand, call on the name of his Lord, and go through this little, you know, wave his hand over the place and sprinkle some holy water in his place, in my face. God's no beggar, nor is his preacher. Christ is no beggar. He's not standing out at our heart's door. No, he's not. If anybody's going to be saved, they're going to have to stand at his door and knock and beg to come in. That's right. There is only one handle. And he's got hold of it. You don't have it. We don't have it. God doesn't need us. Church doesn't need us. But I'm telling you, we need him. And we need this place where the gospel's preached. And as I said, it doesn't matter who came in here, whether it's the queen or the president, I tell them the same thing. You don't have anything we need. It's all coming down. It's all going to come crashing down, Mr. President. But I'll tell you what you need. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul by his blood. I thought he'd come to me. I thought. Go through a ceremony. Salvation not by ceremony. He said in verse 12, "Are not Abanon, are far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in those places? They're clean, beautiful water, you know. It's not. That's where everybody goes. Everybody goes there. Nobody washes in the Jordan. Oh, yes, they do. Lepers do. That's the only ones that get in this place. Are not Abanon Baptist Church? Look how big and how nice and how beautiful that is. That's a beautiful place. You telling me this is the only way? That's exactly right. Far Methodist? You go to far, you'll be far away, all right. Rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel, people. They have bigger buildings. They have bigger budgets. But they have a lesser God. They got all the finery. They got all the material things that man has to offer. All the entertainment that people could want. But they're in want of that one thing needful. And bless God, sons of Jacob, we have it all right here. And this little brown tabernacle in the wilderness. The lands of Goshen. Aren't we blessed? We know who the prophet is. We know where cleansing is. And look, and I got to quit. So he came. And verse 13. Servants said to him, Father, to the prophet, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. You see, salvation is not something we do, is it? If he'd tell you to do something, you'd have done it. And that's what people, that's what false preachers tell them, no, do. Salvation's not do. It's done. Not something you do, it's something that's done to you. And that's what people try to do, some great thing for God. People, we can't do any great thing for God, but oh, I'll tell you about a great salvation. has done for us, for lepers, for sinners. So here he came. And it says, finally, verse 14, then went he down. He got off his horse, his chariot. Now you know what he has to do, don't you? Start stripping. And he had all his stuff on, all his armor, all his covering. And the first thing he's got to take off is that big helmet. You know, the helmet, we'd be at war, or you remember the Romans had that big Trojans, you know? It doesn't matter what they are. This is their real their football player. Take off that helmet. You're vulnerable, aren't you? He took off that helmet. And you know what's going? We're going to have to. It's going to have to happen to us. The mind is going to have to be brought into captivity to every thought of Christ. We're going to have to unlearn. The Lord's going to have to empty our vain heads of all these false notions we have of God. He's going to have to teach us in our mind. They can't stay there. You know what's next? This thing he's hiding behind, he's going to have to expose his heart. Strip, soldier. Strip, leper. Strip. Start stripping. Until in front of everybody. Maids. Men, women. He now knows he's a leper. And there's one way he can be clean. And he strips it off. He's exposed before everybody now. He's well on his way being clean. I tell you what though, he's already been cleansed and he doesn't know it. But he exposes himself. Oh my. And then he steps down. He goes down. The way up is down. He that humbleth himself will be exalted. It says he dipped himself, not once, not twice, not thrice, seven times. And notice he dipped himself. He stripped himself. He went down, humbled himself, and he dipped himself. Got under that muddy water. And that's what our Lord said, you know, repentance is the gift of God. Yes, it is. And true baptism is for Him to immerse us in Christ. Yes, it is. But He tells us, as a confession before all, you come down, you humble yourself in the sight of God and all men, or He'll do it for you. And you dip down, you bow that head, and you go under the water. And you're telling everybody in this, everybody that sees you, I'm just a leper. And there's one thing that will cleanse me. The blood of Jesus Christ. So he went down. Maybe he thought this. And I quit with this. Maybe he thought before he went under, I don't deserve this. Go down. Dip your head. He came back up. Maybe he said like Adam. The first man, Adam, said, it's not my fault. It's that woman.
Go down.
Dip. He came back up. Maybe he thought, this is embarrassing. This is disgusting. No, Naaman, you're disgusting. You've embarrassed yourself. Dip. Go down. Again. So you come clean. When he came back out, maybe he thought, but I'm not as bad as others. Go down. Yep. He came back up. Surely there's another way. Not so humiliating. I'm just humiliated. Do you not yet understand
that Christ was humiliated for you? Dip. You don't understand yet, do you?
What you or humiliates him.
Dipped.
Came back up. I believe, don't you think I've been humbled enough? Dipped. Go down. You hadn't learned anything yet. See, let patience have her perfect work. Perfection. Seven times. Came back up. Well, I was Christian as a child. I was baptized before. Yeah. Seven times. And he comes back up the last time. And he says, I know what he said. He says, I'm the man. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my sins. And against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You're going to be clear when you speak and right when you judge me. But please wash me, cleanse me, purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. And somebody looked at old Nathan and said,
would you look at that? He looks like a baby.
He's a baby all over again. Clean. And he wanted to give it all to Elisha, didn't he? The servant. He wanted to give it all to him. I don't need this stuff. And Elisha said, no, Naaman, that's not why. I never did want your stuff. I wanted you to be clean. And that's what I glory in. Stand with me.